Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, June 21st. Many of us are getting ready to go on the family mission trip today. We'll be leaving in the afternoon, most of us at least, and we are going down to Orlando, Florida to work with Pastor Kenny Oritz at Horizon City Church. This is a new church plant, and we are going to do sports camps to help engage the local community and the children in the community. I'm personally doing volleyball. Don't ask me how much I really know about volleyball. Not much, but I have a few cute cheers, and I have Eleanor Grace coming alongside who knows how to play volleyball. And please be in prayer for us as we seek to share the gospel and also to share lives that love Jesus, that we might be attractive to those who come to the sports camp, and that God might use us as a small tool to help Horizon City Church reach their community for Jesus. Let's begin with our memory verse. Does anybody remember the reference? It's in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36, and the word that sticks out to me is compassion, the compassion of the Lord. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This actually is a nice segue into our first passage. We're reading Acts chapter 28, verses 23 through 31, which is the very last verses of the book of Acts. And here we see Paul proclaiming the hope of Israel, the good news of the gospel to the people that he meets when he gets to Rome. He quotes Isaiah here, warning of hardened hearts. And the passage closes with Paul proclaiming the kingdom of God boldly. Let's start in verse 23 of Acts chapter 28. Remember, this week I've been reading in the Message paraphrase. And here Paul is talking to the leaders of the Jewish sect. They agreed on a time. When the day arrived, they came back to Paul's home with a number of their friends. Paul talked to them all day, from morning to evening, explaining everything involved in the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them all about Jesus by pointing out what Moses and all the prophets had written about him. Some of them were persuaded by what he said, but others refused to believe a word of it. When the unbelievers got cantankerous and started bickering with each other, Paul interrupted, "I have just one more thing to say to you." The Holy Spirit sure knew what he was talking about when he had addressed our ancestors through Isaiah the prophet. "Go to this people and tell them this. You're going to listen with your ears, but you won't hear a word. You're going to stare with your eyes, but you won't see a thing. These people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me face to face, and let me heal them. You've had your chance. The non-Jewish outsiders are next on the list, and believe me, they're going to receive it with open arms." Paul lived for 2 years in his rented house. He welcomed everyone who came to visit. He urgently presented all matters of the kingdom of God. He explained everything about Jesus Christ. His door was always open. I think it is interesting to note, we didn't read this part of the passage, but that Paul is under guard, or he's under house arrest. And yet, the gospel is not hindered. People come to him, and he shares with them the good news of Jesus. In what ways do you feel hindered, and how can God still be at work regardless of the limitations that you feel? This just reminds us that God is at work everywhere, and also he doesn't do things necessarily like we would want him to do them. I think it would have been much better for Paul if he had free rein and he could go wherever he wanted to in Rome. But God still worked, even in the midst of adversity. Let's move on over now to the Gospel of Luke. We're going passage by passage through this book. So we're in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 24 today, and we'll go through verse 35. After John's messengers left to make their report, Jesus said more about John to the crowd of people. What did you expect when you went out to see him in the wild? A weekend camper? Hardly. What then? A sheik in silk pajamas? Not in the wilderness. Not by a long shot. What then? A messenger from God? That's right, a messenger. Probably the greatest messenger you'll ever hear. He is the messenger Malachi announced when he wrote, "I'm sending my messenger on ahead to make the road smooth for you. Let me lay it out for you as plainly as I can. No one in history surpasses John the Baptizer, but in the kingdom he prepared you for, the lowliest person is ahead of him. The ordinary and disreputable people who heard John, by being baptized by him into the kingdom, are the clearest evidence. The Pharisees and religious officials would have nothing to do with such a baptism, wouldn't think of giving up their place in line to their inferiors. How can I account for the people of this generation? They're like spoiled children complaining to their parents. We wanted to skip rope, and you were always too tired. We wanted to talk, and you were always too busy. John the Baptizer came fasting, and you called him crazy. The Son of Man came feasting, and you called him a lush. Opinion polls don't count for much, do they? The proof of the pudding is in the eating." I remember we went over this verse some months back and we talked about the differences between John the Baptist and Jesus. John was ascetic. He didn't eat much. He lived in the wilderness. He was very minimalistic. Jesus, on the other hand, would eat with tax collectors and sinners. His disciples did not fast while he was here with us. It was more about celebrating the kingdom. I think the crux of the matter is that Jesus didn't fit the mold for who they thought the Messiah was going to be. And that is a provocative kind of statement for us. Are we trying to make Jesus fit into some certain kind of mold for what we think the Savior should be? Or do we come to the scriptures and to prayer saying, "Lord, reveal yourself to us and help us to understand you more fully. Help us to commit ourselves to you, to abide in you, to listen to your word, and then to be assured that you are in conversation with us, that we can trust you, and then have confidence that when you speak to us, we know that it is your spirit at work." Proverbs 21 and verse 1 is one of my favorite proverbs. How many times do I say that? This is one of my favorite scriptures. Okay, but really, this is such a favorite because it reminds me of the providence of the Lord. It also reminds me of his character as strong and all-powerful. And then ultimately, it reminds me that whatever God wants to do, nothing is impossible for him. Proverbs 21, verse 1. Good leadership is a channel of water controlled by God. He directs it to whatever ends he chooses. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Sometime back, maybe a couple years ago, I was on a little raft, like a blow-up raft, going down Snake River out west with my aunts and my mom. And I was talking with one of the guides, and he talked about how the river changes direction over time, depending on the landscape or whatever happens to impede the water going in one direction, and then it snakes in another direction. That was a really good connect and an image for me as we think about God. God can take a powerful river and he can make it change direction. God can take a powerful leader and he can change that leader's mind or the direction. God is all powerful, all knowing, and he also wants to have relationship with each of us. And so what a privilege it is to be called the children of the Most High God. Will you pray with me? Lord, open our mouths so that our lips might declare your praises. You are worthy of all honor and glory and majesty. You are the beginning and the end. You have created all things. You sustain all things. And you are about our redemption in all things. We confess, Lord, that we are not worthy to be called your children. We also confess, Lord, our sin is great. And we thank you that your grace is even greater. Help us to be like Paul in that he boldly proclaimed the gospel. He didn't look to what hindered him. Rather, he trusted in your spirit, and you used him in spite of his circumstances. Help us as well to look to you for direction. And we thank you, Lord, that you are at work at all times and in all places. Bless my brothers and sisters today, wherever they are, whatever they face. Remind them that you are there beside them, even in the midst of difficulty. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.